Welcome to this emergency edition of the Real Deal Podcast. I'm your host, Surreal Gerald Quinn, as we discuss LeBron James. I mean, let's be honest. Well, we might do a little power. Power was lit tonight. We might do. I love that. I love the episode of Power. This episode of Power, but we'll put that aside for now and just zero in on why we're here, and that's of course the signing. A busy 24 hours in terms of the NBA, but it is certainly headlined by one LeBron James, who now enters the final chapter of his career and will presumably end his career. You never know with LeBron, but presumably end his career with the purple and gold, the most storied franchise in NBA history, the Los Angeles Lakers. It happened this afternoon, early this evening. But in reality, this thing was in place for months leading up to this. That, and again, I'm not the least bit surprised or shocked by this. You shouldn't be if you follow basketball, if you follow this situation closely, that that this was going to be the inevitable outcome to what to LeBron James signing with the Los Angeles Lakers. This was something that was in the works for months in terms of, you know, forget about the two houses, but the production company, final chapter of his career, the narrative, Hollywood and Magic Johnson closing the book out, closing it out with meeting LeBron James. Found out that was the first time that LeBron James and Magic Johnson had ever had a sit down meeting, one on one, and certainly Magic made it count. So LeBron James is a Los Angeles Laker, and you know, considering where the Lakers were this time last night. Paul George spurns the Lakers to the surprise of many, including myself, but to the surprise of many, and goes back to Oklahoma City. And I have plenty on that that signing. I found that very interesting. Not that he went back, but the fact that Oklahoma City now, you know, wants to pay into the luxury tax when, well, we'll get to that. I have a lot to say about Oklahoma City and that signing. But as far as LeBron James goes, this is going to be the final chapter of his career. You have to understand that this was a decision that is not squarely based on rings and based on championships. LeBron James, unless you play for Golden State, there's no guaranteed championship in the NBA. Period. There's no place like the places that would have gave him the best chance to win a championship, to beat Golden State, putting Golden State aside, he was never going to Golden State, would have been Boston or Houston. Those would have been the two places that would have gave him the best chance to upend Golden State. He was never going to either one of those places. And what you have to understand about LeBron James is not a ring chaser. LeBron James does not, you know, and LeBron James said this years ago, a couple of years ago, when you're having the discussions of greatest player of all time. He said, I don't think Bill Russell's the greatest player of all time. He has the most championships, and I don't think he's the greatest player of all time. So, yes, of course he wants to win. But LeBron's smart enough to know that he's probably not going to win six championships. He's not going to catch Michael Jordan in terms of rings. So what is the next chapter? Yeah, he wants to compete for championships. He wants to be in a position to win championships. And listen, the Lakers are not done with adding pieces to their team. Now you've seen some minor pieces get added in terms of these little one-year signings that they've done. Canarius, Kentavious, Caldwell Pope, Kentavious. Oh, he's messed up his name. I should know. I mean, he's been on the team for this past year. I should know his name by now. Kentavious, Caldwell Pope signs for 1 year. JaVale McGee, Lance Stephenson. Those are bit pieces. Those are 1 year deals. Those are 1 year contracts. Guys who you know, nice players, rotation, you know, rotation players that you put on a team. Those are not the main pieces that you're building for a championship team. But you have to have role players, so those signings are fine. But you know, you still have a Kawhi Leonard that's still out there to be had. You still have a DeMarcus Cousins coming off the torn Achilles that's still out there to be had. So this is not a, you know, a rush process. This is not this is unlike any situation that LeBron has been used to with the, in terms of the Cleveland Cavaliers. Remember, with the Cleveland Cavaliers, when he came back the second time, LeBron was in complete control of that organization and was at the mercy. That the organization was at the mercy of LeBron James. That is not the case with the Los Angeles Lakers. He signed a 4-year deal, 3 years, basically a 3+1, where he can opt out after the third year. At that point, he'll be 37 years old. He'll be 37 years old after that third year, 38 if he goes the full 4 years. So he's going to give the Lakers patience, time to build the team around him. Magic Johnson told you repeatedly, said that this was a two-year, two-summer process in terms of the free agents. Told you that. So there's no rush to sign this player X, this player, that player. Again, a lot of people are down on Kawhi Leonard right now. I kind of understand it, but Kawhi Leonard, when healthy, is a top three player. You put Kawhi Leonard next to LeBron James, that is a team that can win a championship. You don't need LeBron and 5 All-Stars. This whole idea that you need 10 All-Stars to beat Golden State. Golden State almost lost to Houston. Okay, Houston has 2 All-Stars. James Harden and Chris Paul. I feel like the combination of LeBron and Kawhi Leonard is better than the combination of Chris Paul and James Harden. That's just me. That was a bit James Harden not even playing well in that series, by the way. So you put the right pieces together around Kawhi Leonard, LeBron James, Kawhi Leonard, you can beat Golden State. You will be a contender to challenge Golden State without question. So again, this whole idea that they need that you need 5 All-Stars to beat Golden State is not the case. You need talent, but it's more about, again, we've gone over this time and time again, it's more about your style of play, and it's more about who you have in terms of the matchups. You have to be able to match up with their perimeter players. Again, you have LeBron James, Kawhi Leonard, you can match up with their perimeter players. Question for the Lakers is, now, the Lakers have some leverage here in terms of Kawhi Leonard, because San Antonio, there's not a lot of deals out there for Kawhi Leonard in terms of San Antonio. It's just not right now. Teams are not willing, are not willing to deal with Kawhi Leonard, deal with San Antonio for a 1-year rental. Kawhi Leonard wants to be a Los Angeles Laker. He's made that clear through his camp. To his people's, his camp, and his management, that he wants to be a Los Angeles Lakers. So you're not going out there and giving up, all your assets for Kawhi Leonard for a 1-year rental. Because the odds of what happened to Paul George in Oklahoma City happening to Kawhi Leonard are 1 in 10,000. The odds are against it that will happen. That all of a sudden Kawhi Leonard will fall in love with your city and spurn the Lakers when he's an LA kid and he wants to play with the Lakers. You can risk it, but again, San Antonio is going to get a decent deal for Kawhi Leonard. They're not giving up Kawhi Leonard for just 20 cents on a dollar. You don't have to give up 70 to 80 cents on a dollar to get Kawhi Leonard. It's not going to be a situation where with Indiana and Orlando last year, or Indiana and Oklahoma City, where you thought, now we didn't know Victor Oladipo was going to be all NBA this year, but you thought for the most part that Indiana got fleeced in terms of what they gave up for that deal. So that won't be, that will not be the case for the Lakers in terms of getting Kawhi Leonard. Now, the question again, you have two questions with these injured players. Again, Kawhi's injury, I don't worry about as much. DeMarcus Cousins, he becomes, to me, an X factor in this, if you're the Lakers. Because, to me, again, all this is your point to trying to beat Golden State. It's not like Golden State has gotten to a level to where you're not, it's not about building a contender. You have to build a team to try to beat Golden State. It's no longer, hey, we got to build a team to be a to contend with Golden State. How are we trying to, how are we building a team to beat Golden State? And I still say that physicality bothers Golden State. And I still say that DeMarcus Cousins would hurt Golden State if he comes back even 80 to 85%. I don't expect him to come back 100% off a torn Achilles. If he comes back anywhere from 75 to 80%, that's a whole other story in terms of the matchup problems that he can cause. Because he's really one of the last of the real, true big men that can bruise and also put the ball on the floor and even shoot the three and do things that the modern big men can do, and stretch four and stretch fives, the Carl Anthony Towns, Joel Embiid, those guys can do. So will the Lakers really make a strong push? I think you can get him on the cheap. I don't think you have to pay a lot for him. I think you get him 2 years, $30 million, 2 years, I think you can get him 2 years, $40 million, second year as a team option. He does not have a lot of leverage coming off of a torn Achilles right now. So I expect it now. I don't know if the Lakers get Kawhi Leonard, and you should know something about that around Tuesday. I expected this to be quick. I don't think the Lakers are going to let this thing drag out with Kawhi Leonard for long. If they don't feel like the package is fair, or the offer, the deal is fair, and San Antonio is asking for too much, then they're not going to give it up. Then they'll just move on and wait for him to become a free agent in 2019. Remember, 2019, Kawhi Leonard can become a free agent. Klay Thompson will become a free agent as well. And there are a couple other guys, but those are the two prominent names that will be free agents in the summer of 2019. Again, this was a two-year process when Magic Johnson was hired, and he told you that this was a two-year process when he was hired in terms of these free agents. As far as LeBron goes, in terms of leaving Cleveland, I talked to a couple of Cleveland fans over the weekend. I want to say Friday. I was out Friday and was speaking to the Cleveland fans who, and I told them that he was leaving. I made it clear Friday. I told my friend, this is a done deal. It's not. I mean, I've been hearing it for months that his people are moving. LA, they've already, lawyers are already meeting. This thing was probably the worst kept secret in sports, in the NBA. If you follow the NBA, this probably was one of the worst kept secrets. Everybody likes the drama. Oh, where is he going? And all this nonsense. It wasn't, like, compared to 2010, 2014, there was no drama whatsoever. It was pretty much clear. I don't even know what to say. I don't know why the Sixers even took a meeting. Let me give a memo to the Sixers. If the player who you want doesn't show up to a meeting, That should tell you something, that you're probably not going to get that player. So I think the Sixers and anybody else were basically wasting their time with going after LeBron if he wasn't going to show up, if he was not going to be there for a meeting, especially when that meeting, when he's in the city of that meeting. Like, LeBron was in L.A. where the Sixers met with his representatives, yet he didn't show up to a meeting. Yet there were Sixer fans who thought that he probably had a chance, and, it was okay to dream, but that wasn't going to happen. That wasn't going to happen at all. But in the Sixers, I told the Sixers fans today that you didn't need LeBron James. You have two budding superstars in Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. They'll re-sign Redick. They will, they lost Ben Nelly and Ilyasova, but those are replaceable pieces. The people will want to play for Philadelphia. Free agents will want to come to Philadelphia to play with Ben Simmons. And now you're basically only competing with one other team in the Eastern Conference, and that's the Boston Celtics, who, by the way, have two injured players who have to show that they can be healthy over the course of 82-game season, and Gordon Hayward and Kyrie Irving. But again, this was inevitable. It was going to happen. The question moving forward for the Lakers is the pieces that you surround LeBron with. You, of course, have to get shooters. You have to get guys that can spread the floor, that can open up driving lanes. You have to get right now, again, as currently constructed right now, look at their team. You still have Lonzo Ball. You still have Kuzman. You still have Brandon Ingram. Let's say for argument's sake that Ingram, Kuzman, and a first-round pick are moved for Kawhi Leonard. So at that point, LeBron James, Kawhi Leonard, Lonzo Ball, Kentavious Pope, JaVale McGee, Lance Stephenson, and then the rest to me will be, you know, shooters. And I don't think they're going to re-sign Julius Randle. That's my opinion. I don't think they'll bring him back. They might try to bring him back. I don't, depending on, you know, if Cousins will come, getting a big man is easy. You can get a big man. There are 7-footers all throughout the NBA. That's not hard to get. In today's NBA, it's not hard to get a big man. So that'll be, you get somebody to bang, rebound, play, and block some shots. Those players are easy to find. Just like 3-point shooters are easy to find in today's league. So, but the key for them will be to get shooters. Because last year, the Lakers were, you know, terrible in terms of this, in terms of 3-point shooting. You can't have LeBron James and possibly a Kawhi Leonard and have no shooting, because the lane, you know, teams would just clog up the lane and you don't have any space for those guys to operate. As far as legacy talk with LeBron, at this point, I don't see the legacy. Listen, he will never be considered the greatest of all time. To me, he will always be below Jordan, and that's not an insult to LeBron. That's just a fact of the matter. At worst, he's the second or third greatest player of all time. There's nothing he can do in LA that's going to drop him out of the top three of all time. Like, he can only enhance his legacy. He can't hurt his legacy by playing with the Lakers and not winning championships. That's a conventional lazy sports argument to have. Well, his legacy depends on these next 3 or 4 years. His legacy was set in stone when he won that championship in 2016. When you beat a team that wins the most games in NBA history, come back from 3-1 in a series where people had gave you no chance to win, including myself, that basically cemented and brought a championship to a city that hadn't won a championship in professional sports going back to, you know, when Jim Brown played. What was it? 1964. They had won a championship in over 50 years. That pretty much, you know, that was his legacy submitted. So there's no chipping away of his legacy. Any criticism that he receives, unless he just doesn't play, unless he just goes to the playoffs and just doesn't play well, unless he just, you know, he averages 10 points next year, which is not going to happen. Unless he just finishes his career falling off a cliff. If he finishes his career playing relatively at a high level, then I don't see what anybody can say about his legacy as far as if he doesn't win a championship in L.A. And again, expectations in L.A. coming to the Lakers is about championships. It's about championships. It's not about, they don't hang up. Lakers don't hang Western Conference finals banners. Lakers do not hang Pacific Division championship banners. Lakers hang championship banners. So you come to Los Angeles, you're coming to the Lakers, not the Clippers, to the Lakers. You're coming to win a championship. It's all about championship. And LeBron knows that. Everybody knows anything about basketball knows that it's all about winning championships in LA. But with that said, you know, Golden State right now remains the team to beat, and deservedly so. Golden State has 4 All-Stars. But again, Golden State almost got taken out by Houston this past year. Now, the other big winner in this, there are three major winners in free agency. Obviously, the Lakers to me are the number one winner. Winner 1A, I would say, would be Golden State. Because Golden State now with, now the Lakers are better, but Houston, for whatever reason, lets Trevor Ariza walk for nothing and go to Phoenix for 1 year, for basically for 1 year, $15 million. Now, they're probably going to get back Capella. I would have to say that if letting Ariza walk, they have to bring back Capella, and I think they will bring back Clint Capella. But I don't understand why you let a guy who is the epitome of a glue guy in Trevor Ariza walk for $15 million. Like, you couldn't give him 1 year $15 million. You couldn't give him 1 year $12 or $13 million. Ariza, again, I remember Ariza was a Lake in 2009. He was tremendous in that playoffs, especially against Denver and Orlando in the Western Conference Finals and in the NBA Finals. He is a great glue guy to have, a guy that is fearless, a guy that will guard the other team's best perimeter player, a guy that will do all the little stuff, all the dirty stuff. Now, that's a guy that you need to win a championship. I do not understand why Houston let him go like for nothing, basically. Just let him walk away. So Golden State is a winner from that standpoint. Also, remember Golden State, and you can criticize Golden State all you want about the four All-Stars. Kevin Durant signs for 2 years, $61.5 million. He will get 30 and a half this year. That means Golden State, he left basically $5 to $6 million on the table. That means Golden State can go out there and get a Jamal Crawford or Avery Bradley, even a Dwight Howard if they want to, somebody of that ilk. They can get multiple guys. They can get mid-exception level guys. They can get guys on the scrap meet who will go and play for them. And their team, they will have a better team this year than they were last year. They will be better next year than they were this year. They're going to fix that bench. And they're going to go out, and players around the league want to play for Golden State. You're going to get shot. I mean, listen, if Oklahoma City does what they're supposed to do, stretch, buy Carmelo out, that'd be a good move for Carmelo Anthony to go to Golden State. That's if Oklahoma City does what they're supposed to do. So to me, Golden State definitely was a big winner in terms of the free agency. They lose JaVale McGee, no big deal. I know he had a couple of moments in the finals over the past couple of years, but they had too many big men, as is, on their team. Against Oklahoma City, I had to say I was a little bit surprised about the Paul George staying with Oklahoma City. Now, again, I heard reports and rumblings over the past couple of days that he was starting to warm up to staying with Oklahoma City. Russell Westbrook threw a party for him last night. So things were starting to go in that, you were starting to hear things that go in that direction as far as him staying in Oklahoma City late last night, even before the announcement. But listen, Paul George could make up in upwards of $290 million over the next 7 years. I'm not going to knock Paul George. No, the easy thing to do would be knocking Paul George. I'll say this about why I think Paul George didn't want to come to L.A. I just think that he did not want to deal with the pressure of playing for the Los Angeles Lakers, even with LeBron James. So to me, Paul George is at a place in his career to where he doesn't care about being a man. Because it's clear that Russell Westbrook is the best player on that team. He left Indiana, left $220 million on the table to get moved out of Indiana, basically. To basically force Indiana to trade him last summer. He left, again, a $220 million supermax extension on the table. So that, to me, he doesn't want to be the guy anymore. He's fine with being a number two. And Paul George can be a number two on a team that competes for a championship, depending on who your number one is. I think Paul George could be a number, could be a perfect number two on a team that could win it, that could challenge for a championship. He's not number one on a team that could win a championship. Also, but this whole, this why if you're an Oklahoma City fan, that I would be just annoyed if I'm, if you rooted, if you rooted for Oklahoma City over the past 6 or 7 years, and let's say the Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook era game when they, James Harden, those guys came along, you have to be, you have to be ready to just kick your kick your television right now, because back in 2012, Oklahoma City had three of the top, three of the best young players in basketball, in Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, and James Harden, three guys who were 25 and under, and probably three of the top, at the time, I would say three of the top 20, 25 guys in the league, and you went, and you went, and they didn't want to fork out $7 million for the James Harden contract. Remember, James Harden, James Harden, they offered James Harden 4 years, $53 million. He wanted 4 years, $60 million. They didn't want to pay into the luxury tax back in 2012. So they decided, they decided to trade him, and the rest is history. And that was the beginning of the end of the Oklahoma City Thunder being a possible team of the decade. So now, if you pay the luxury tax in 2012, you keep a team together that could possibly, that could win, that would have won multiple championships. Those three guys. Now, I don't care who the coach was. That those, they're winning multiple championships with James Harden. James Harden was the difference in the series in 2012, Lakers and Spurs, especially against the Spurs, and then for them getting to the finals. So you, you're not willing to pay into the luxury tax to keep three of the top 25 players in the league, but you are willing to pay for, into the luxury tax for a team that is a maybe a second round team at best, is a middle of the pack team in the Western Conference. Middle of the pack. I mean, they, well, Oklahoma City, what, is Oklahoma City, what, is that a third? Maybe they're a fourth seed. Maybe a third seed. Maybe. Maybe they can get to a number three seed. But then, I mean, they're no closer to a championship now than what they were at the end of the regular season. Especially if they bring back Carmelo Anthony. That gives them no flexibility to make any other moves. So again, if I'm an Oklahoma City fan right now, I'm just, I don't, you got to be scratching your heads. Because now they're going to be, they're going to be well into the luxury tax. They're going to play, they're going to be paying $240 million in terms of, into, like, think about that. They're going to be, you have to pay $240 million with the salary cap combined with the going over the luxury tax. $240 million. And at this point, listen, this is one thing about the NBA now, 2018. You, if you want to compete and win championships and compete for a championship, your owner has to be willing to pay over the luxury tax. Golden State and Cleveland pay over the luxury tax. Houston's going to have to pay over the luxury tax. The Lakers are going to have to pay eventually over the luxury tax. You cannot compete, win a championship without paying, or compete for a championship without paying over the luxury tax. Eventually, the Sixers, when those guys hit, become free agents and go for, and eligible for extensions, Ben Simmons, Fultz, those guys, they're going to pay into the luxury tax. That's just the way it is in today's NBA. So again, the idea that Oklahoma City is now willing in 2018 to pay into luxury tax versus 2012 is a mystery to me. Remember, back in then, they were selling out the building. They were making money hand over foot. It wasn't, they just did not want to pay into the luxury tax for whatever reason. And it cost them championships. So, Los Angeles Lakers land the big fish. LeBron James being is a Laker. He will, again, presumably finish his career with the Lakers. His son is about to turn 14. So that is his master plan, that he wants to play with his son. Eventually, he wants to play with his son in the NBA. So, that remains to be seen. But presumably, you would think that LeBron James will finish his career as a Los Angeles Laker. I don't see LeBron James being a guy that will hang on if his play drops considerably. If he I don't see him being that type of guy. He's not going to hang on for records. He's not going to hang on. He may not even have to. He's on pace to pass Kareem. I would say if he stays healthy for the next 3 years, by age 36, that he could pass Kareem for all-time leading scorer. So, he has a chance to be the all-time leading scorer in NBA history, has a chance to be top five in terms of assists in NBA history. We will see if he can get ring number four or if possibly five with the Los Angeles. Again, I don't think that the Lakers are not done as far as adding pieces to the team. They have a lot of valuable trade assets with Ingram, Kuzman. Their first round picks are not going to mean as much because they're going to be a playoff team next year. So those would be picks in the late 20s. But you can still get some. First round picks are still somewhat valuable assets, trade assets in the NBA. So we'll see what happens with that. Again, the major winners in free agency are the Lakers, Houston, Golden State. The Lakers, Golden State. Oklahoma City, you have to say Oklahoma City to a lesser extent, because if they lose Paul George, then you're talking about them being in a position where they probably would have to move Russell Westbrook, because that team would have been a disaster moving forward, being over the cap, over the salary cap, and having nobody outside of Russell Westbrook. Now at least you can try to build around Russell Westbrook and Paul George for the next couple of years. Again, they're going to stretch Carmelo's. They're going to buy out Carmelo Anthony, stretch his salary out so that gives him some salary cap flexibility to go out there and get some decent pieces. They can't go out there and get major pieces, but some decent pieces in order to try to compete with the likes of Golden State, Houston, and now presumably the Los Angeles Lakers. That's going to wrap it up for this latest edition of the Real Deal Podcast. We'll be on later on in the week to talk about episode 1 of Power. I'm out.